It's hour number two. Bickley and Murata live from the Ak-Chin Community Studios here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. The Phoenix Suns are 20-10. They're rolling. Looks like a real playoff team. They got an all-star, and people are still upset. And here to talk about that with us, about the Suns and the rest of the NBA, ESPN, ABC, NBA analyst Jeff Van Gundy joins us here on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Jeff, thanks so much for the time. We appreciate it.
No problem.
How upset should Suns fans be, if at all, in your mind, that Devin Booker didn't make the all-star team?
Well, you know, it's always this around the all-star selection, you know, who got snubbed, how outraged should you be? I think, you know, it's actually tiresome to me because it's 12 spots, and when you say you're going, you know, Devin Booker should be there, you have to tell me who you're going to take mm-hmm. off. And that's the thing. So to me, I always, like, I think your team should be winning. I know that's arbitrary and it leaves some people off who would have, who are having good seasons. But I don't believe sub 500 players should be there. But even more so than that, the number one thing I would do if I was the NBA is, why does it have to be 12 players? Mm-hmm. Why can't it be 15? And, like, you still would have who got snubbed from 15,
sure.
But you would add three more players. This is so important to players from how they're viewed, and in some cases, how much they're paid, right? Mm-hmm. That I think there's got to be a better way and a better way to include more people. And so if you had 15, you know, Devin Booker would be in without question. But this is not a referendum on Devin Booker, the player. Like, Devin Booker is a great player. And we should be honoring him more this year when they're winning than last year when they weren't winning. And I think sometimes we confuse stats for all players. The stats that matter are stats that lead directly to winning. And this year, with Chris Paul being there and Devin Booker playing at a great efficiency level and Monty Williams doing a terrific job and James Jones putting together a good team, they should all be getting their credit. I just feel badly for Booker that this notion of he's not an all-star is now overtaking what a good year they're having and what a good year he's having.
Very, very great points. And I think LeBron James really kind of lit a fire here by calling Devin Booker the most disrespected player in the league. And that's a heavy word to use in those situations. And I'm not exactly sure what he meant by it. But I guess you've seen in the case, players tend to use this stuff as fuel.
Yeah, I don't buy that either. Like, you know, this whole notion like of like a player needing a vote to motivate him. Devin Booker wouldn't be a great player if he needed outside motivation to drive him forward. Like, I've never seen a great player in our league who needs other people or other things to motivate him. I know it was always said about Jordan, like, oh, Jordan uses these things. Like, is anyone watching? Jordan got like 40 every night. It wasn't like, oh, he was scuffling along and he was getting 10, 12, and then somebody disrespected him and he burst on the scene for 50. It's really our fault as the media because we perpetuate these things that aren't true. And so I disagree with LeBron James. Devin Booker's not disrespected because a coach voted seven other guys instead of him. Like, how is that disrespectful? The thing that would happen if Devin Booker, let's just say Devin Booker was voted on and Chris Paul wasn't. Is Chris Paul being disrespected mm-hmm. by that? No. These guys made choices. And frankly, the coaches put very little into who they're deciding on. Yeah. It's not like they're sitting down all day going over, like, racking their brains. They're worried about their own team and who they're playing tonight. I hate the whole process of how All-Stars are being voted. You know, 50% go to the fans. Why? like, do the fans watch? If you're a fan of Phoenix, are you watching intently, you know, Oklahoma City on a nightly basis and seeing if Shai Gilgeous Alexander should make it or not? Mm-hmm. No. And our broadcast is even worse. Some days it comes through the NBA. Hey, your vote counts double tonight. What do you mean? We give two votes in a country that has been fixated on election fraud? We're actually giving two votes on certain nights? Like, think about if that was in an election. Hey, if you vote early voting, if you vote Tuesday, your vote counts twice, but on Wednesday it only counts once. What are we doing?
That's so like, true.
What is, like, so the whole process is flawed to me. But the thing that bothers me is when we start using inflammatory language like disrespected. Mm-hmm. So they're trying to, like, diminish Devin Booker, that he's being disrespected, versus I guarantee you every coach in the Western Conference that didn't vote him as one of the seven off-the-bench guys in the All-Star game have nothing but praise for him as a player and as an impact on what Phoenix has done and how he kept grinding through a lot of disappointing seasons. I disagree with the process. I disagree with the language that we use, because it's all supposed to make Devin Booker feel bad versus, hey, Devin, you're an amazing player who's having an amazing year. And by the way, I think they're 20-10 right now. Uh-huh. You're helping your team win more than they've won in so very long. And you're doing it alongside another great player in Chris Paul, who happened to get a couple more votes than you.
Yeah.
Should you feel bad about that? Absolutely not.
Jeff Van Gundy, our guest here on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. In the discussions about Chris Paul, he's been so instrumental, very deserving of that All-Star spot. In our opinion, but in all your years as a coach in the league, as a broadcaster in the league, we marvel at what we see on him night to night from a leadership standpoint. Where would you rank him among the great leaders in NBA history, Jeff?
You know, it's funny. Leadership is an interesting thing, because some people chafe under his style. You know that.
True.
You know he's a know-it-all. He never stops talking. You know, like, I'm like, I've never coached him. All I know is, on a nightly basis, he plays to win, and he does so with a talent and a tenacity that makes him one of the all-time greats. And maybe if you're a little bit more sensitive, maybe his style grates on you. Maybe you want a more like Steve Nash type of guy who, you know, you guys saw his leadership style was to pat everybody on the back. To me, it's not about style. It's about what is the example. And the example that Chris Paul has set that I've observed, I coached against him when he was young. I've watched him ever since. He comes to play every night. There's not one night I think he shortchanged his team. He didn't play to win. He didn't play with toughness, tenacity, intensity, and care. And he's an all-time great. And, like, to me, he did it with Oklahoma City last year. He did it with Houston prior to that, the Clippers, New Orleans. Like, every step of the way, he has brought an attitude of playing winning basketball wherever he's been. And he's a unique talent. I have great admiration for all he's accomplished in his career.
This is great analysis. My last question for you, Jeff, when you look at the Suns roster, they're in a good place right now. They're playing both ends of the floor. They're blowing out teams. They're finally handling teams that are perceived as lesser teams. Do you see any weaknesses in this team? Because I ask, the Suns made some moves to clear a roster spot. We know that Boogie Cousins is floating out there. A lot of people have speculated. I'm not sure you want to mess with what the Suns have. From a head coach's purview, do you see weaknesses? Are there any area that needs to be fortified here?
Well, I think until you win it all, you're constantly trying to upgrade your roster. I mean, even the Lakers, who won it all, they made moves to try to upgrade their roster, bringing in Schroeder, you know, Wes Matthews. So I love, first of all, James Jones, he doesn't get the credit he's due right now. Like, he's done some really good things. And at the times, they've been controversial, you know, like, oh, he picked Cam Johnson too high. Oh, Cam Johnson's good. Mm-hmm. You know, like, he's a good player. All right. You know, did they sacrifice too much by getting Chris Paul? Not really. They got a steal. You know, and on and on. So the roster building has been good, really good. What Monty Williams, like, I love Monty. I coached him back in the Knicks when I was an assistant way back. I have such great admiration for his intensity, his intelligence, but also his style, leadership style. And I think he's demanding and he's driven, but he cares deeply about the players. And, you know, you look at how they're put together. Bridges, who I absolutely think continues to improve. And when you have his type of talent and character, you're going to see it keep going. So anyway, I think they're well put together. I think, you know, Payne, Carter, their guards off the bench, they played really well. I think Monty's got the most out of them. I think they, you know, if they had a higher quality guard off the bench, I think that would be great. Some you know, a backup, you know, combo guard that could play with either both, you know, both Booker and Paul. I think that would be good. So I think you're constantly trying to change. I don't think they should add a big, though. I think, you know, Saric as a five has actually gives him an advantage of not being as slow when he's at the four. So I like how their makeup is. I think Ayton's come a long way. You know, and they have a lot more work to do. But, man, are they well-positioned right now. I love their team. I love their coach. And, like I said, James Jones, let me throw out a LeBron word. He's being disrespected because he's not getting the credit that he deserves.
Yeah, the disease of me.
Jeff, thanks so much for the time today and the insight. It was a pleasure having you on the show.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff.
All right, take care, guys.
Thank you. Jeff Van Gundy, ESPN ABC NBA analyst. He joined us on the Coulter Good Automotive stuff. Group Sports Line. Coulter Infinity, luxury cars, legendary service. Visit coulterinfinity.com.
I mean, it's a lot of names.
Right.
It's a lot of, like, Ja Morant can be upset, I mean, with his performance. And it was some other, bam. It's a lot of guys every year can be upset. And the question I posed while we were on break, what about the sixth man? What about Jordan Clarkson? What about, you know, a few years ago, D. Rose and Lou Will and, you know, Jamal? Like, the sixth man never get the nod. And these guys come off the bench, average 20 a game. Mm. And they never get any all-star nod. So what about the NBA putting in a six-man roster and getting the guys off the bench an opportunity to be in an all-star game, because some of them deserve it? So it's a lot of guys that deserving of being an all-star that will not make it, and it's unfortunate.
That's Dwayne Wade last night on mm-hmm. TNT. Interesting thoughts from Jeff Van Gundy, too, about the way that these rosters are constructed. And you know, we do have these annual conversations. We had it last year when Devin Booker uh-huh. wasn't included. He finally got into the game as an injury replacement. Do they need to change the way that they determine who an all-star is? I think that's an interesting question. And to hear Jeff Van Gundy, who works for a very big broadcast partner of the league, say, what are we doing voting, making votes count twice on certain days? Sounded like he didn't want the fans to have any say at all.
That was I thought that was just really enlightened stuff from Jeff Van Gundy. Because there is an element of that, and the guy who runs Arizona Sports History, the Twitter feed, the guy who's so fond of you, Vinny, he's the guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you make it sound like people aren't fond of me. He's the one
guy, right?
Of me.
Yeah, of course, yeah, that's him.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
I'm sure he's fond of you, too, Bick.
He brings up a good point here that the Suns organization bears a little culpability as well in terms of not really running a coordinated campaign for Devin Booker. If they ran as many in-house promos for Devin Booker as they did for arena tours back in the day, then I think you could have drummed up something. And he points out that at one point in time, this fan base got Dan Majerle voted in.
Mm-hmm.
So there is that. Then Suns fans spare some culpability for, you know, not responding in mass for something that should be important to more people. Truth of the matter is, soft sports market. Don't have a lot of people plugged into that level, engaged at that level.
Now, I think I made that point last year when we had the Devin Booker didn't make the All-Star team discussion, was that if Suns fans as a whole did show the amount of passion in being snubbed as they did for supporting their candidate, maybe they wouldn't be, you know, they wouldn't be in the situation that they're in. Now, I get it. It's harder. The Suns, in terms of fan base now with internet voting, they're at a disadvantage due to just size of the fan base. Mm-hmm. You're not going to compete with the LA Lakers and the Boston Celtics and the Philadelphia 76ers and even the New York Knicks because of the difference in market size. But there's also another discussion to be had here, too. You kind of brought it up earlier, Bick, about Phoenix as a whole and how it relates to the future of Devin Booker.
Mm-hmm.
It also came up in a discussion this morning on Doug and Wolf with Tom Chambers. Tom Chambers played in the All-Star game, so he knows what the whole experience is like, played in the All-Star game as a Phoenix Sun as well. The question to Tom Chambers was, is Devin Booker feeling the a lack of attention because he plays in Phoenix? Here's what TC had to say.
Well, I don't think it has anything to do with Phoenix. I really don't. I mean, we've had three All-Stars on the team in Phoenix before. This team is finally just getting some recognition now. It's just been hard because, with this whole COVID and all that kind of stuff. But, I mean, everybody knows who Devin Booker is. I mean, all of his peers know who he is. And if it's the coaches disrespecting him, I feel bad for the Hornets tonight because he'll probably go for 60.
I'm thinking the same thing.
It's going to be one of those games where he's like, you know me now? kind of a deal. But it's just so sad for him because he's done it all the right way from day one stepping here on the court for the Phoenix Suns. He's done it the right way. I mean, he keeps his head down. He goes to work. He does whatever he can to help his team. He's great in the community. He speaks well. I mean, there's nothing that Devin Booker could improve on, in my opinion, to help him get on this All-Star team or to be a better player than he is today.
I agree with the beginning of what Tom Chambers said there, that it doesn't have anything to do with Phoenix. And I think it's a fascinating discussion to have because the Suns have not been relevant league-wide for a decade now, but the way Tom put it, they're just getting some notoriety, they're just getting some footing. They finished really strong on a big stage in the bubble. They've carried that over to this year. They do have an All-Star. They are a playoff team. Let's see where this goes in the future. I do fully believe Devin Booker will be named as an injury replacement. Next year we're probably not having this discussion about Devin Booker, because if you look at, I look up at the TV in the studio here, Bick, and there's a replay going on of, the Bucks against Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Milwaukee's a perfect example. I mean, Giannis continues to elevate his game. He's a two-time MVP, but there was a time he wasn't Giannis. He was an up-and-coming hot prospect who played in a really small NBA city.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bucks weren't winning a ton, so there was a waiting period that had to happen. And I think that waiting period is getting shorter, and a lot of it has expired now, and the Suns are going in the right direction unequivocally for the first time in a long time.
Right. This is so I think all of those things you said are true. I think it's all going to be mitigated by the fact that I'm sure Devin Booker is going to be the choice to replace Anthony Davis, who I'm most certain will not be playing in the All-Star game. And there might be more than one to duck out, but I really think the odds of Anthony Davis playing in this game are not real good. So to me, I think it's going to resolve itself. And Devin Booker is also going to get the benefit of, man, I was disrespected by these coaches. I think it's better that than to be let down by the fan base, if you will. There'd be a big difference in that. This morning, I'm not sure in what capacity, but I saw a quote from Chris Paul who basically said Book's going to be fine. And I agree with TC. The one thing that I really like about Devin Booker is he's got a real maturity to him. That story that Michael Wilbon did on him talked about his old soul, and he really is that way. You can tell it about the guy. He's for a guy who's addicted to video games, he's very mature. That's just a joke, of course. But I look at Devin Booker and I think, okay, he's gonna be angry. He'll use it as fuel because guys do. Is it gonna make a huge difference in his game? I know. Yeah, I mean, somebody might feel it. Somebody might get something coming tonight. I mean, I think that's the accurate prediction.
And on the fan base thing, none of us think Devin Booker should be a starter.
No, I mean, but...
So that wouldn't really have been fair anyway.
That's part of the discussion, mm-hmm. though, is why include the fans in the process? I know why they include the fans in the process, because they want to make it a fan spectacle. I get it, but it doesn't make that much sense. And if there is financial effects of making all-star teams and all NBA teams, why are they, you know, why is it a popularity contest? I think the fans did a really good job this year. I don't know how much that's manipulated, but, you know, I have no problem with the starting lineups that were, you know, determined from the fan voting. Mm-hmm. But, you know, unless the Suns start winning championships, they'll probably never have an all-star starter again.
I don't know about that, but yes, I think it's fair to say that because of some of these other elements that are in play. To me, again, I don't think he is the snub, and the amount of attention it garnered, like Jared told you last night, it's almost worth more than the publicity of getting in the game.
It's true.
Because of who it's coming from. And again, should Devin Booker be there over Zion Williamson? Yeah, you could certainly make that argument. But at the same time, it's not an egregious error.
No, but that's the thing that people say. If you're upset about Devin Booker, who would you take off the team? Most people who have an answer for that question would say Zion Williamson, who I don't have a problem with Zion Williamson being an all-star at this point. I get it. He's been really good this year. He's improved his game. He's stayed healthy. He's increased his minutes. Team isn't winning a whole bunch, but... So most people will say, well, who do you take off? Other people will say, Kendrick Perkins was on with Doug and Wolf this morning. And he did not, Kendrick Perkins doesn't hold his tongue on much. He didn't hold his tongue. He doesn't think Zion is an all-star over Devin Booker.
It doesn't make sense at all. And to be honest, I don't have an answer because once again, you know, we understand the all-star starters, right? Is guys deserving to be in all who are all-star starters, but it's a fan favorite, right? Mm-hmm. Right. It's the guys that the fans want to see. I get that. But when it comes down to the reserves, and I have been around coaches when they had to fill out their ballots and put in their reserves, and every single coach that I've been around and played for, they said, we vote for guys that not only have the individual stats, but impact winning, that plays both ends of the floor. And I just didn't get it with the Zion situation.
Yeah, it's interesting, too. You consider the whole game and then thrust these guys into an exhibition game where no defense mm-hmm. was played at all.
Yeah,
the
right.
whole thing.
Right.
We even had the discussions leading up to this, Bick, on how valid an idea was it to have an all-star game this year, mm-hmm. Of all years.
Oh, yeah.
And now, for Devin Booker's sake, if he wants to add a two-time, a second all-star appearance to that resume, he's got to be glad there's a game going on, because if there was no game and they just named all-stars, he'd be out on the outside looking in, and that'd be final.
Now, that's a good point. That's a very good point. Or I suppose they could come to Devin Booker and say, we're going to name you, and say, no, I'm good. I don't want to play. I doubt
that's what
that.
I was actually wondering.
If he'd do that?
He's like, this is 2 years in a row, guys. No, thank you. And you could use it.
You can't do that.
Well, he could say, like, you know.
That's a year of COVID.
Well, we had that discussion last year, too, because, you know, people were upset that he didn't make it. I hope he doesn't take the invitation. How do you? Hey, it's Adam Silver on the line for you. You know what, Commish?
I mean, congratulations.
Thanks,
man.
But no thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks for nothing.
And then the commissioner hangs up and goes, man. What a jerk face he is. Take him out of our national campaigns.
Can't wait to capture his soul.
Yeah, right, right.
The commissioner hangs up and goes,
ah! All right, coming up next, it's Wednesday. That means a round of Start, Sit, Cut. It's Bickley and Murata live from the Ak Chin Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Time to take a look at the Arizona Sports Poll Question. Brought to you by Sanderson Ford. The best play is at Sanderson Ford.
Wednesday, Sanderson Ford poll question on ArizonaSports.com. Give you one guess on what the subject matter is.
All-star game.
Related. Who should have been the All-Stars this season for the Suns? Your choices. Devin Booker, Chris Paul, both, or neither? I really don't have that much of an issue with the way things shook out, but if you're giving me the choice of both, I think they both had All-Star years. I'd vote for that.
Okay.
46% agree. 34% said neither. 17% said Book, and only 3% said Chris Paul.
Wow.
Putting the 3 in CP3. That is today's...
That doesn't make a bit of sense.
It really doesn't.
It just reflects anger is what it does.
That's today's Sanderson Ford poll question. You can vote on it right now. It's on the homepage at ArizonaSports.com.
Bickley and Murata want to know, who would you start, sit, or cut?
Jarrett, what is that interesting mind of yours cooked up for us?
That's a way to describe it, I suppose. Okay. A lot of talk about the All-Star game. Should have been Paul and Booker, Booker and Paul, just Booker, just Paul, neither or both, blah, 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 blah. So let's look at the rest of the roster, and I ask you, most likely to make an All-Star team in the next 2 years, DeAndre Ayton, Mikal Bridges, neither.
Ooh.
In the next 2 years?
So not this year, obviously, but... Next year and the year,
by,
and the year after.
2023?
Yeah.
Yeah. I will start neither. I will sit. I'll sit DeAndre Ayton. I will cut Mikal Bridges.
Dan Bickley, you have just determined the correct order.
Thank you.
Not a knock on either one of those players. The talent pool is not going to get any smaller in the Western Conference.
No.
And I think DA has the higher ceiling statistically, which could jump off the page to you.
Exactly.
But yeah, that's the order. Neither. Starting neither. Sitting DA. Cutting Bridges.
All right. Devin Booker snubbed again this year. May make the All-Star team anyway. But I'm going to compare him with a couple of other All-Stars and say if you were starting a basketball team... We're revisiting... We've done types of questions like this, but... who would you rather have if you were starting a basketball team? Start, sit, cut. Zion, Luka, Devin Booker.
Ooh, this is a tough one. I'm gonna be Homer.
Oh boy!
I'm gonna start Book. I'm gonna sit Luka, and I'm gonna cut Zion.
Wow. I am going to start. I don't know where to go with this.
It's a tough one.
I would say I'm going to start Luka, sit Zion, cut Booker.
Cut Booker?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Glad I got your back, huh, Book?
Homer.
Zion is really good, but he doesn't seem to be leading to... wins, but neither did Devin Booker until this year, so who knows? And it's not like the Mavericks are doing great either. In fact, the Suns have by far the better record than both those teams. All right. Have either of you, by any chance, familiar with the new show, Young Rock?
No.
Yes, we played a clip from it.
Yes. It's a new show about The Rock, Dwayne Johnson's life as a child, high school, and college. which of these athletes would you most like to see a show slash sitcom of their life when they were young, i.e. a kid in high school? Tiger Woods, Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan.
Oh, wow. I think I got this one.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm starting Michael Jordan for the legendary stories of him getting cut from his high school team. I'm sitting Kobe. Oh, man. This is impossible. I think Tiger Woods might have had the most boring story. But how do you...
And you
how
saw
do you,
a lot of it.
But how do you... Yeah, we've seen a lot of it. But how do you eliminate that influence that his dad had on his life? Yeah, I'm gonna sit Tiger, and I'm going to cut Kobe.
Okay, if this is a question about what we would want to watch, I would start Michael Jordan's sit Kobe, cut Tiger. Already seen all the clips about Tiger.
Yeah, as a kid on the Tonight Show or whatever and all that stuff.
Well, could they spin it into a sitcom-y type thing like they did for Young
That's
Rock?
What I'm saying, yeah. I don't know.
Make Earl Woods this comedic figure? I don't know if they'd be able to pull that one off.
How about Jelly Bean Bryant? All right. We had on Jeff Van Gundy earlier in the show.
Mm-hmm.
Start, sit, cut. Most handsome. Jeff Van Gundy, Stan Van Gundy, Mike Gundy.
We have now reached a new low in start, sit, cut. What do you got, Beck?
I was just... You can just say... I forget the handsome thing. Just how about just rank them in general. Their careers.
How about how I like them?
Yeah, how you like them, sure.
I'm starting That's Jeff, good. I'm sitting Stan, and I'm cutting Mike.
Okay.
And then I'm cutting Mike again.
Yeah, definitely. I think I'm going to... Yeah, Jeff's more opinionated.
Stan's pretty opinionated.
Stan's pretty funny.
Yeah. That's a tough one.
Yeah. I'll start Jeff, sit Stan, cut Mike Gundy, just like Vinny did.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Today would have been Steve Jobs' birthday. I don't know if you guys remember the meme from a few years ago where it was like, it was shortly after they had all died, and it was like, 5 years ago we had Steve Jobs, Johnny Cash, and Bob Hope. Now we got no Jobs, no Cash, and no Hope.
Yeah, I remember that.
Remember that?
Yes.
I do.
Okay, start, sit, cut. Steve Jobs, Johnny Cash, Bob Hope.
Apropos of nothing and completely random, and I hadn't thought about it until you said the name,
mm-hmm.
I had a dream like 2 weeks ago where I got a phone call from Bob Hope inviting me to some event.
That is just...
Is the human brain...
That's as random gets.
Wow.
Wow.
Well, I tell you, how you doing there?
Yeah, I'll start Johnny Cash, I'll sit Bob Hope, and I'll cut Steve Jobs.
I will start Steve Jobs... His products have affected my life more than the others.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
So
okay.
I'm going to sit Johnny Cash, and I'm going to cut Bob Hope. And I did accept the offer, and I met Bob Hope in the dream.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Now, was it old, young, medium-age Bob Hope?
It was old Bob Hope.
Hasn't he always been Bob Hope?
I haven't even seen a clip or video of Bob Hope in a million
Neither
years.
Have I.
That's so weird that would pop.
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
The human brain, man.
Yep. All right. Last one here a couple days ago was National Margarita Day.
Mm-hmm.
Start, sit, cut. A margarita pizza. The song Margaritaville.
I'm starting the pizza. I'm sitting the drink. And I'm cutting the song.
I am going to... It's not my favorite kind of pizza, but it's not bad. So I'll start the pizza, sit the alcohol, cut the song.
I'm surprised you don't like that. It's pizza with the fresh garlic and fresh tomatoes and basil.
It's good. I agree with Big. It's good. It wouldn't be my favorite type of pizza.
Most margarita pizzas I have are tomatoes and basil. I don't detect much garlic in them at all.
Also, neither of you like that song. It's such a fun song to sing along with. I know it's corny and cheesy, but sometimes that's fun.
I just don't like if you're a parrot head, more power to you. I just don't get it. I read an article a few years ago about Jimmy Buffett doesn't even live that lifestyle.
No, he's just a great fraud. He's an incredible fraud.
He's just an unbelievable businessman.
Yes. I read the same piece.
He saw an opportunity, and he jumped on it.
Yeah. I saw the same piece. I'm like, wow, didn't know that.
And I remember reading that and trying to put myself into the shoes or the flip-flops of a parrot head.
Right.
And being, wait, what? He doesn't even believe in this stuff.
Hey, some people say it's a woman to blame. It's your own damn fault for buying those tickets.
That's true. He warned you. That is a Start, Sit, Cut. We do it every Wednesday. Coming up next, some pretty enlightening stuff from Torrey Lovello. As the spring training continues for the Arizona Diamondbacks, we'll tell you what he told Burns and Gambo yesterday. Next, it's Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Dan Bickley, Vince Murata.
Dan Bickley, Vince Murata,
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
Smith into the wind and the 3-2 pitch and got him swinging, and the 2020 season has come to the end as Riley Smith strikes out the side of the ninth inning, and the Diamondbacks get a victory here by a final score of 11-3.
That's the way the awful 2020 season came to an end for the Arizona Diamondbacks. Last September 27th on that Riley Smith strikeout, it was disappointing. It left a bad taste in everybody's mouth. 25 wins, 35 losses, a last place finish in the National League West, which has set the bar low for expectations, needless to say, especially when you play in a division with the Padres and the Los Angeles Dodgers for the 2021 Diamondbacks. Now, we've had some players on. We'll have another player on today as D-backs All-Access Week continues. David Peralta is going to join us at 1 o'clock. But, you know, we talked to Christian Walker yesterday, and you know, we talked to Stefan Crichton on Monday, and they both said they really like the makeup of this team. Here's what Christian Walker said yesterday.
Yeah, I'll be honest. There's a solid buzz right now in the clubhouse. I love when I look around and seeing the faces that I see, and we get out on the field and you realize how many good players that we have. You know, to be honest, you know, the cap and all that, that's above my pay grade. So, you know, my job is to show up ready to play every single day. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, the guys in this clubhouse are ready to go out and win a World Series.
Yeah, that, I mean, that answer makes sense. I think you'd find players in clubhouses for 30 Major League Baseball teams saying the same thing. Even in Baltimore and Pittsburgh, they're probably having similar discussions. But something that Torrey Lovello said yesterday in his interview with Burns and Gambo, there was so much put on in terms of pressure. When we finally got an idea of what the season was going to look like, 60 games, and everybody used that, it's a sprint, it's not a marathon, got to completely change the way you're thinking and approaching games because you don't have any real wiggle room or rest time. Torrey Lovello made a pretty open admission last year on the way he handled 2020 and how to avoid doing that again.
So we put a lot of pressure on these guys. That's something I would do differently. I told them to get after it in spring training, and we need to hit the ground running. And everybody was telling me that, you know, each loss is times three. That to me was something that I would do a little bit differently. You know, at the trade deadline, we were 3 or 4 games out, right? And we still had plenty of time to catch up. And in a month of baseball, you could do special things. So I might have put a little too much pressure on the guys, and I want to allow them to be themselves, get in their corner, communicate, and do the things that I know they were very used to.
That's pretty interesting.
It is.
It's a manager falling on the sword, certainly, and there might have been elements of that, but I found it interesting that Torrey said that.
Well, so do I, because I just wonder if it really is anything more than that, than just falling on the sword for the players, because these players know what the deal is. They're there to win baseball games. So the pressure, I don't know what Torrey Lovello could have done that would have made them feel more pressure than they should have.
Yeah, I mean, can anything, even if your coach is telling you, hey, get after it, you should be doing that anyway. The reality of the situation was what built pressure. How you deal with it is a different thing altogether. But, you know, if it leads to growth, if it leads to more effective messaging from the manager to the players, then, you know, maybe there will be something good to come out of 2020. But a lot of it, in Torrey Lovello's own words, Bic, came down to communicate, communication. Here's what he said about that subject to Burns and Gambo.
Everybody was dealing with it. Every team every organization, they were dealing with the same things. But you don't get a chance to see an expression or see a smile or see a frown. Your face was covered. My face was covered. The players, you know, and I had a tough time relating to one another. And we got a little bit better at it. I started to figure out the game plan and how to start to communicate a little bit better. But, look, we were at spring training for almost a month. We had a month of the season, and I finally figured it out. But by that time, obviously, we know that it was too late.
People might raise an eyebrow or shrug mm-hmm. a shoulder at that. But let me put it to you this way.
Yeah.
Since face masks have become part of everyday life,
mm-hmm.
have you met somebody that you didn't know before? In the first time that you meet them, they're wearing a mask?
That's a great question. Yeah, it's really odd, isn't it?
And then when you see them without the mask, you're like, wow, that's what you look like? And so people will say, and he did make reference to it, every team had to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a struggle. It does change the way, if you're used to doing things a certain way from, mm-hmm. from a baseball communication standpoint, I'm sure that was hard to overcome.
Well,
it sounds like he figured it out, but in his words, figured it out too late.
And again, that's a little bit cryptic too. What is there to figure out? Did you talk sideways for your man? I mean, what exactly could he be talking about?
You got to read the eyes.
Yeah.
Oh, you got to
sort
read
of like that nonverbal stuff.
You
got to
read the cheekbones.
That real sensei stuff. I gotcha. Were you just like, uh-huh, okay. The nonverbal communication, maybe that's what it is, Jedi mind tricks.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think Torey Lovello is going overboard to try to take blame for what went down last year. And to your first point, the amount of optimism that we've heard, it really makes you wonder, okay, we've heard this before. We've heard this so many times before. We saw the Diamondbacks have the greatest Cactus League team in the history of baseball once. And how much did that carry over? Zero.
I would love to know if there's examples of anybody that's played baseball for a really long time where first day of spring training, you walk in and you're like, wow, this is going to be a disaster.
Right, right. That's right. That's exactly
or
right.
Or if anybody ever verbalized
no,
those feelings.
No, and it's like, and you had a funny line earlier that it's everybody feels this way until you get beat 13-0 by the Dodgers in the first game and they hit 9 home runs.
Yeah.
And then you're like, okay, wait a minute, maybe we're not.
And that sounds like an exaggeration, but just a couple of opening days ago, they hit 8 home runs against the Diamondbacks.
Was that what the number was?
Yeah.
I remember that game.
Cranky gave up 4.
Oh. Yeah, I do think the lack of response to the pressure that faced every team, that was more of a player issue to me than a Torey Lovello issue. That was players who weren't ready to do it. You know, and so I just think it's a lot of talk. It's the Diamondbacks are going to have to back this up, and I'm glad that they feel confident. And you know, everyone to a man is saying, "I'm looking around and I'm seeing a really solid baseball player mm-hmm. next to me." That's great. In Los Angeles, it's an all-star next to everybody.
Yeah, and I mean, maybe that's not the way you judge. Maybe you do judge yourselves internally. Look within, because if you're getting into a contest with the Dodgers, you're gonna lose that.
Mm-hmm.
And you only have to. I mean, you got 19 games against them. You got 19 games against the Padres this year. The other issue with Torey Lovello going into this season, he's in the final year of his deal. It was talked about with Burns and Gambo as well. With Torey saying, not a big factor.
No, it's nothing that is going to distract me. you know. I've been in baseball my whole life, and every year that I've worked, with the exception of the past couple, I've worked year to year with contracts. So I'm very well prepared to be able to block out the black noise and the distraction. And for the way I look at it, my parents taught me to honor things, and in this case, I'm going to honor this contract and work my butt off and eliminate all the distractions, because that's what my team wants me to do, and that's what I need to do for the team as well.
Are you surprised that the Diamondbacks have a manager going into his final year when
yeah,
considering four seasons ago he was the manager
yes.
of the year?
This is one of those things that snuck up on me. I thought Torey had 2 years left. This generally doesn't happen. generally managers who are being played out like this lose authority in a clubhouse because the guys in the clubhouse go, he's got no say. He's got no power in this organization. So teams generally, if you really want your manager fully empowered, you're extending him because it means you believe in him and it sends a powerful message to the guys in the clubhouse that, okay, you know what? Those guys upstairs believe in Skip. We better believe in him too. It's a dangerous thing. I've seen it. I saw it happen in Chicago with a guy named, remember Gene Lamont, Vinny?
Yes.
It's happened to a lot of guys. And once they get into that lame duck situation, they do not have the authority they need or that they once had.
You could view it, too, as a message from up above that, hey, everybody.
Maybe.
Everybody is on thin ice here.
Maybe. And I think that can't be the case. I think the story is, there's something sideways with this team's finances, and I don't know exactly what that is, but it seems to be quite the concern around there from employees who still have not been reinstated for full pay to the payroll of this year's team and how it was just a Fort Knox mystery for the longest time, something Mike Hazen wouldn't even address, okay, to this. So, I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure what it means. Yeah. I would like the Diamondbacks to have some more financial flexibility, but I'm kind of the opinion that the Diamondbacks are never going to have the financial flexibility that's really going to make a difference. Because once again, in baseball, you've got to stack up a lot of expensive players to get the net difference and to get your money's worth. Oh. You buy just one of them, it's not worth it.
Sure. So do you even buy even one of them?
That's my point.
And do you manage things in terms of getting the right blend of talent and chemistry? Because you can win without supreme all-star talent.
Yeah,
that's been proven time and time again.
You can lose with it. Look at the Angels every year.
You can certainly lose with it.
Right.
We're halfway through on this Wednesday. Bick's got the blast next. It's Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.